My dear friends, because I'm aware of your pastoral needs, and because I am confident of Father Roland's qualifications for the office of pastor, I now commend Father Roland to you as your new pastor. It's a great joy for me always to come to Christ the King Parish, this beautiful parish, the marvelous Blessed Sacrament Chapel, and all the ways you cultivate beauty here, especially the beauty that's the dignity of every human person that you foster in your school through all the sacred liturgies that you do here and your commitment to the gospel of life. Today's gospel passage, in fact, all three readings, are very appropriate for this time in society and the church, and when I have the privilege of installing your new pastor. The first line of today's gospel says this: "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Jesus calls his followers little flock in today's gospel. So if any of you have come to this Mass today feeling little before a sorrow that's weighing heavily on your heart, little in the face of a problem that looms large and overwhelming for you, little in the knowledge of your own mistakes and your own failures and perhaps things that bring you shame, or little in your health with things that threaten your very life, or little for some other reason today, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you and to me. Do not be afraid, little flock. It's very instructive to know that this is not the only time that Jesus speaks to his beloved followers in this way. In fact, all the way through the Gospels, he does so. The first name that Jesus gave to his disciples was little ones. And one of the very first miracles that he performed was for a girl. And it's one of the few times in the sacred scriptures that we still have retained Jesus' first language, Aramaic, not Greek, in which the Gospels were written. So he says to this girl, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little one, arise." Those words are intended for every one of us. They were the words you could say that he spoke to his own beloved son as he was in the tomb. "Little one, my beloved son, arise." And so the resurrection happened. Moreover, frequently, Jesus called his disciples children. For example, in chapter 10, verse 24 and following of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Material riches can so easily make us less childlike, more self-reliant, rather than totally relying on the love of God. Even at the Last Supper, when Jesus was gathered just with the 12 apostles, he said to them, as recorded in John chapter 13, verse 33 and following, "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another." And even after the resurrection, when the risen Lord appeared to the apostles when they were fishing at the Sea of Galilee, remember, they were out fishing, and as they come on shore, Jesus calls out to them, "Children, have you caught anything?" Moreover, Jesus warns his disciples, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God." It's not at all a bad thing if when we come to pray, we feel little, because we're in the presence of the King of the universe. We're in the presence of the Almighty Father and Creator of all things. It's appropriate that we feel like children, especially children that are loved. Great ones, on the world's terms, are far different than the little ones that make up the kingdom of God. Only those who surrender in childlike faith to God, who count it a great privilege to call him Father, can enter the kingdom of God. But let this not in any way make it seem as if the children of God are not given the great grace of fortitude. To become like children in God's eyes is to be fully trusting in the Father's love and overflowing with confidence in his protection. Children of God are truly courageous. Little flock is therefore not a sentimental term. It doesn't mean that Jesus' followers have no backbone, that we're not ready for conflict. I'm sure many of you have visited a cancer ward of a hospital. If it's a children's hospital, I'm often amazed at how much courage children can have as they face great suffering. God's love for us is first shown when we're baptized, when we become children of God, when we have a new birth. We become truly worthy to hear the words of the Father that he said to his own Son, "You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter." We become little by God's grace in the world's eyes because of emptying ourselves of pride and arrogance, or allowing the Lord to empty us of those, which is a great gift from God. It frees us for what pride gets in the way of. The little ones, by God's grace, humbly confess their sins, ask forgiveness of one another. Cowards don't do that kind of thing, but children do. To become a little flock is not to become safer, as the world sees safety. Jesus said, "Unless you take up your cross each day, you cannot be my disciple." When we become children of God, we are given the power and the courage to carry the cross. Here is what it meant to St. Paul to give up his proud ways, stop persecuting the church, and to be baptized. He writes in 2nd letter to the Corinthians, "We hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted on every side, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." This great mystery, the little flock are those who rejoice in the Beatitudes that have words like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the clean of heart. Blessed are the meek." The best example of becoming a child of God, after, of course, Christ the King, the Lord Jesus, who from being Almighty God became a little tiny child in his mother's womb. But the next best example is the Mother of God, Mary herself, Mary our Queen. She was insignificant in the eyes of the world. Probably nobody noticed her at the foot of the cross or along the way of the cross, except, of course, Jesus, for whom it meant so much that his mother had the courage to be there with him. She was all pure, all innocent. She rejoiced, as she says in the Magnificat, that God puts down the proud and raises up the lowly. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. What a blessing it is to be a member of his little flock. The little ones who believe in God, rejoice in Jesus' words today at the end of today's gospel. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. When we treasure Jesus, when we treasure our faith, when we treasure the privilege of being children of God, that's richness. A priest once said to me, "Why be a millionaire when you can be rich?" That's what it is to be a child of God. Even Abraham, in today's second reading, became a child of God. We're told in the letter to the Hebrews how Abraham's faith in God was tested. God called him to leave his homeland, everything that he knew, everything he knew how to do to even support himself and his wife. God called him to go to a land that he knew not. He didn't tell him even where it would be. He just told him, "I will lead you." Only a true child of God would do that. No map quest. No word from God regarding where he was leading him. Abraham went in faith. He did not need to know where he was going because he knew who was taking him there. Abraham represents the opposite of living a cautious life, a fearful life, the opposite of insisting on safety first for myself, insisting on having the answers before I'll go forward and doing something God's asking me to do. Abraham reminds us that faith in God leads to a great adventure, not to knowing where or how or the other details, but knowing the one who's called us holds all creation in his hand. When Father Roland said yes to being a priest, I doubt he had any idea he'd ever serve beyond his country, or that one day he would be installed as pastor of Christ the King Parish. When a man or woman marries in Christ, they have no idea where God will lead them, how many children they will have, how the Lord will shape their lives through the joys and sorrows, the hopes and the tragedies that will inevitably come their way. Faith in God involves risk, but it's always surrounded by hope and by faith. Little is the way of love in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will preserve it unto eternal life. This is why the martyrs are the greatest heroes of the faith, because they follow the path of Jesus. So let's take new courage. If at this Mass we feel a little small before the sorrow or hardships or whatever is weighing upon us at the present time, and let us take new courage. Let us not lose hope. If we feel little in any failure or ill health, let us keep in mind Jesus' words. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Father Roland, my brother, Father Quinn Nguyen, Deacon Tom Bibb, Bishop, and those not present with us today, Deacon Ron Nguyen and Deacon Neil Tift, will assist you in the pastoral care of the people of this parish, together with your parish staff. Share this ministry in a spirit of mutual trust, common prayer, and genuine concern. Now I invite Father Quinn, the deacons present, and the pastoral staff to come up and welcome you and greet you. Any staff members, please come forward to greet the pastor.
Oh.
Would the members of the Pastoral Council and Finance Council of the parish please stand? Father Roland, these are the members of the Pastoral and Finance Council of the parish present today. They are the voice of your people, and they will assist and counsel you as you minister to this parish. Always be attentive to the needs that they express.
My friends, I pledge to seek your counsel, guidance, and advice in the spiritual and temporal care of my pastorate.
And now I invite you to come forward and welcome your new pastor. Remember, my brother, Father Roland, always be a loving father, a gentle shepherd, and a wise teacher of your people so that you may lead them to Christ, who will strengthen all that you do. As a teacher of that faith, I ask you now to lead your people in the profession of their faith.
So please rise.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one